Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Come in, eat some cake, have some wine.
I doff know who wrote this bookum.
Okay, let's see if I can actually pull off. I've had not an awful lot of time to... I have no idea how long this episode's going to be. I'm really hoping you guys are up for it.
Is it going to be an absolute bonanza?
Well, I guess we'll have to find out. Hello, and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. My name's Beef, and with me, as always, is... one of you say your name.
Oh, this is Bob Shoy.
So we're drinking Kool-Aid, which is why Tiss is off his rocker.
half sugar.
No added sugar, apart from the obscene amount of sugar that I saw in that bowl.
Yeah, are you guys enjoying the Kool-Aid?
Not really.
No.
It's really underwhelming.
Through the sugar.
It's, yeah, I don't know, maybe more sugar would be better.
Yeah, but I refuse to put that much sugar in.
No, it's too much sugar. So if you can't make a nice flavour with that amount of sugar that you put in, it's not okay for that to be a drink.
The actual powder smelled amazing, like.
Yeah. It smells great. When we smelt it, when we wafted it like over the bowl, wafting it into our noses, it was really, really tasty.
Yeah.
Ah.
So good.
But, no, it's all right.
Yeah. What a letdown for everyone who's waiting for our taste of Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Right. Sorry. Maybe if it was another flavour, can you get other flavours of Kool-Aid?
Yeah, loads.
Really?
Yeah, loads. Watermelon.
That would probably be too underwhelming again, because watermelon's not a massive flavour, is it? I love watermelon, but it's not like a big-hitting, punching flavour.
Bam! I like watermelon.
Yeah, so do I. It's just not a massive...
pear?
That'd be gross.
Yeah. I don't think pear
could... I don't like pears.
I know, pears are great.
It tastes like pear drops.
Yeah. No. Anyway, so we were sitting on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're still in your house, but for two more days, it's your house.
I move house tomorrow, yeah. But while Becca's out there cleaning the garden, we don't want to let anyone down. So the last episode of Weird Tales recorded here. Not the last episode of Weird Tales. God, get that in before anyone does anything stupid. It's the last recorded here.
Yeah.
And we'll sit on the floor, no furniture.
Do you feel sad?
Moving out of here?
No, not to be moving out. Does it feel like the end of an era that we're recording here for the last time?
Oh yeah, it's kind of weird because we've never even been in this room. So now we're recording on the floor in it.
No.
We recorded at mine before the new premises, and that was for Witchcraft episode number...
I don't know what.
And the Christmas episode.
We did the Christmas one.
And weird media.
And Donald Trump going nuts one.
There you go. So there's a good little backlog of ones that have recorded that.
When we record at yours, are your parents going to be there?
Probably.
Are they going to try and join in?
Probably.
Is your mum going to, like, come and join us on the pod?
She'll be on rubs.
So next discussion episode will be your parents?
No, my mum won't be there.
shall I get cracking?
Yeah.
Crack into it.
So I wanted to honour... So Bob sent me a list of some votes that came in from our patrons, right?
Yeah.
And I got a list of topics to choose from. So, and I obviously wanted to honour one of them. I think I had other ideas that I was kind of dipping into and out of, but Managed to pick one in the end, which...
I just got my iPad because I realised I didn't tell you who suggested them.
Yeah, I'd like to know who... Yeah. I'd like to know who this is for.
I just sent you the messages, didn't I? I can get it up.
But yeah, I only know the list. The list I had was...
Whoa, don't give away the list, because we might use some of these in the future.
Oh, right, okay. We'll cancel that, rub that. Okay.
So, what is it?
So, today... We are looking at the life of Rasputin.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, this was a double suggestion.
Oh, really?
Two people suggested Rasputin.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was Emma Apps, who's right. been listener of the week before.
Okay.
And it was also Sean Torrance, who has been listener of the week before.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Emma and Sean, I'm really...
Oh, wait, no, it wasn't Sean.
Was it not?
No, fuck Sean, it was Emma.
Oh.
I can't remember who else did it. If I remember, I'll tell you.
Okay. So it's not Sean. Sorry, Sean. I didn't pick what you picked. But had I've known what you picked, I might have done.
He suggested.
That is something that really interests me. I just picked this. Yeah. So hopefully, if you voted for Rasputin, hopefully this episode won't disappoint. I haven't spent as much time researching this as I normally would. I just got back off holiday yesterday, but I hope that. You guys are going to be interested by this because...
I'm mega interested.
I think out of all the people that... I think there's maybe only been a few people that I've looked at myself, including like all the people in the serial killers episode. This guy is quite a character. What do you guys... I'll be honest though, before I started looking at this guy, like yesterday, I knew almost nothing about Rasputin. Do you guys know anything about him in particular?
I know... Wasn't he a bit randy?
A bit randy.
Yeah.
Well,
I might
he was
have been making that up.
No, he was.
He's Russia's greatest love machine. Rasputin,
Russia's greatest love machine. Maybe I don't know. That might have been Putin.
There's a song. Do you know that song?
Might have been Putin because he's been Putin it everywhere.
Do you know the song?
What, Rasputin?
Rasputin.
Yeah, I know of it. Yeah,
Rasputin, Russia's greatest love machine.
Yeah. Who is it? Is it Boney M?
Boney M, yeah.
Yeah. No, I've...
That was also a second follow-up request from Emma that we used as the outro music.
Oh, really?
And I was like, where? Yeah. So what do we know about Rasputin?
So, and I'm only asking this because I genuinely... Like, when we talked about Nostradamus...
Mm-hmm.
I knew a fair amount, he was a familiar figure to me, but Rasputin is really, he was quite unknown. I didn't really know much about him other than he was Russian.
Didn't he defy that?
Or Serbian. He's actually Serbian, he wasn't Russian.
Oh, really?
Probably. Let me just double check that before I go.
I might be getting the lyrics wrong.
He was born in Siberia.
That's Russia.
Yeah, there we go.
Siberia is Russia, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
So, yeah, he was.
He was born in Russia, sorry, I got that wrong.
Right, didn't he defy death?
Well,
wasn't he tried to? They tried to kill him so many times.
That's kind of something which, as far as I can tell, is a bit of a myth.
Ooh. Was he a myth?
He was quite a tricky bugger to kill, though. It seems like I've heard from two different sources that his death was quite he was quite tough to kill, but he wasn't impossible. There are myths as well that he resurrected from the dead.
Yeah, I heard that.
Which is bollocks.
Is it?
Wow.
I heard that.
I
heard that. What's that mean?
The guy who faked Will Shakespeare apparently was Rasputin.
Oh, is it really?
Back from the dead.
My publishing works. Tish is back. Well, we'll come on to his death in a minute.
We haven't done a Will Shakespeare's bullshit reference for quite a while.
No, because
so
it's not
that bad.
It's not a long enough thing.
One of our listeners messages me, he messaged a couple of times just to say they're his favourite bits when we talk about Will Shakespeare being bollocks.
He is bollocks.
He is bollocks.
It's not real.
What do you mean it's not real? What isn't real?
You're going to believe
the
media.
Books. He didn't write them stories.
So who did write them? Penguin.
He didn't exist. It was a collective of writers that wrote all the books. Put
He's
the Will Shakespeare
grave.
Name to it.
He was an actual person.
Well, it was a grave mistake to put that.
Wasn't he an idiot and they just used his name?
Yeah.
He couldn't even read.
They gave him a fanny hairstyle and they said, there you go.
To distract everyone.
There you go, Will. He was rich and he bought all the stories. He had shadow writers.
You're changing your idea as you go.
Nah.
So he went for... Wait a minute. You said that he was an idiot and they just used his name.
No, that's
why would they do that?
Obviously, he was.
Okay, and he was rich.
I said he had a funny.
And he had a load of shadow writers.
Yeah, he had a shadow, writer.
But then wouldn't you, even if he couldn't write, he'd still have the ideas, he'd still be able to articulate to someone how to write what he, the story he had in his mind.
No ideas.
Oh, my life.
He just said, write a really good story.
Tiss has brought his he wants to get his hook, line, and sinker today.
He just got loads of people that said, write a really good story, and you'll have to write them similar, so it looks like they're written by the same person.
There's loads of references in his books to the fact that he didn't write the stories.
Is there?
Okay. Yeah. Well,
maybe we need to revisit this in more
detail. Tiss, you can look at this as an episode at some point.
Because in Romeo and Juliet, it says, I doth know who wrote this bookum.
This bookum. It doesn't
really,
have...
Really went off the rails.
That's what Romeo said.
I doth know.
Doth Vader. Right, what are we saying?
Let's be
okay. So Tiss, it was a bit of a horny randy bugger.
Yeah.
Come back to that in a sec. Tiss, what's your knowledge of Rasputin?
Didn't he shout, Stella?
What?
No, Rasputin
he
was
may have
a dirty
done it
fellow.
We'll leave that. We'll just
moving on.
Rasputin was a dirty fellow, apparently. A dirty bedfellow.
Okay, so your knowledge, your collected knowledge is that he was a dirty bedfellow. A dirty bedfellow.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard of him.
You never heard of him?
I've heard of him.
Oh.
But I've not heard him.
I know what he looks like. He's got a big beard.
That's how you know
and
he's
a bald head, right?
That's how you know he's real, because no one's heard of him.
But well, we'll come on to his appearance in a sec.
I know him from Hellboy. He's like one of the main villains in Hellboy.
Yeah, but that's just Rasputin.
And he resurrects.
That's just him as like a comic character.
And he's getting his own spin-off series.
Yeah. So he's okay. Still alive then, obviously.
Why don't we just have a brief overview?
Well, did he have a big beard and a bald head?
He did.
Rumors followed him all his life. At the age of 10, this Siberian peasant was said to read minds and heal sick animals. Growing up, he developed a taste for drinking, thieving, and sex. He joined a Russian Orthodox cult which believed its members needed to experience sin. In St. Petersburg, his magnetic personality and weird ideas drew the attention of high society. Eventually, he met Empress Alexandra. The strange monk succeeded where doctors had failed. He cured Alexandra's son of hemophilia. Because he answered Alexandra's prayers, she believed that God spoke through him. He predicted that if he was killed, the royal family would not live more than 2 years. When drunk, which was pretty often, he bragged about his wild sexual escapades with the royal family. Now, that was the last straw. In 1916, the Tsar's cousin lured him to his palace. The monk was poisoned, shot, and bludgeoned, but only when he was thrown in the icy river did he finally die. And 15 months later, the Russian Revolution destroyed the monarchy. The royal family was executed, just as predicted by the mad monk, Gregory Rasputin.
Maybe. He was a mad monk. I've heard that before.
What's hemophilia?
Hemophilia is when you can't stop bleeding. If you get a cut, you just bleed and bleed and bleed.
That isn't hemophilia, good.
No, it's...
I always get it confused with the one where you have really thin skin, so you can cut really easily. I forget what that one's called.
Isn't it the same thing?
Is it? Because my friend had that when I was a kid.
Hemophilia.
He had the one where you can cut really easily.
I think it's... I don't know, maybe it's not the same thing. Yeah, so...
He sounds like a interesting fellow.
A bedfellow? Sounds like an interesting bedfellow.
Yeah, I love that he was like horny and got drunk and was just like, you never guess what I was up to. And just like bragging about his sexcapades and...
Yeah. Yeah, he's... he was a very interesting guy. There's quite a lot, really, that we could talk about. And
just like Tiss. Tiss always gets drunk and brags about all this.
He was born into a peasant family in Siberia. And so obviously, I mean, it kind of still is, but particularly at the time, Siberia was just vast nothingness.
Still is,
which it still is, yeah. But I think even more so. It was, you know,
it's cold, isn't it?
Yeah, cold, sparse,
harsh landscape. That
yeah. But he went off to become a monk, and apparently went to the monastery. And I think this is when he, like his ideology of faith started to kind of take a bit of a downturn. I don't really know what he was expecting to achieve. I don't think it doesn't look like he actually wanted to become a monk.
It's like that whole thing about the cult, like, oh, everyone has to experience sin. It's like, if I say this in like a cultish, mysterious and religious way, it's like an excuse just to fuck around.
Well, do you know what? I kind of feel like he was pretty close to becoming some kind of cult leader.
Yeah.
So the cult that he was a part of was called the Kleists.
Right.
Which was it was like an underground sect. So it's quite, you know, quite.
Do you think anyone's used that for a band name yet?
The Kleists.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be like an in band name or something.
So Kleist or Kleisty, it takes its origin from the word Christ.
Right.
Or Christ believers. But they basically, his ideology was that in order for you to purge your soul of all sin, you had to sin.
Right.
And that gets it out. By sinning, you getting out your sin.
Oh, right, okay. That's like, it's like an excuse to sin.
Yeah, but the only sin he seemed
to... That's
great.
I'm going to join that cult.
The only thing that he actually did or that saw he as a sinful act that you purged to get out was tons of sex.
Loads of dirty sex.
Loads of dirty, filthy, whorish sex.
That's like saying, I need to stop having caffeine. It's a coffee.
Yeah, it is...
It's like when...
Sounds pretty water
like
thin for me.
You get caught smoking and your dad's like, oh, you like cigarettes, do you?
Yeah.
I'm not smoking the whole pack.
Yeah. At once.
Like sinning, do you?
Yeah.
You sin your brains out.
Why don't you have loads of sex with loads of promiscuous people?
Maybe I will.
There are rumours, I don't know how true this is, but there are rumours that when he went to the monastery, monks like were engaging in homoerotic activity.
Classic. Did you hear that, Tess?
I hadn't heard that.
So it looks as if his ideology when he got to this monastery is like, if these are monks and they're having it off of each other, you know, particularly when the Bible says you don't do that, then what is this? What is this place? There's no integrity here.
Right, okay.
So it looks as if he kind of changed his way of thinking when he went to become a monk. That could have been like the making and breaking of him. So he would either become this monk that he wanted to do. When he went, he couldn't read or write. So it's possible that he went there to do that because obviously that kind of a lifestyle was so strict that you would learn to read and write pretty quick because right. You'd... So I don't really
didn't,
know. It seemed quite ambiguous,
just have to,
really.
Like, keep writing the Bible out again and again? Isn't that what monks do? Is that just one specific type of monk?
I think that's kind of... I think monks are quite...
Or is that just really old, like, before printing presses? To get the word out as much as possible, they would all just, like, all day sit and, like, write the Bible from start to finish and just keep doing it again and again. And
yeah,
if they made,
much.
Like, one mistake, they'd start over again.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, so obviously monks are very different now. I've met a few monks.
I make a mistake every time.
So that was pretty much the lifestyle that he'd signed up for. And I think he was probably quite disappointed and a bit sort of like, wow. If this is what monks get up to, then what's the point? I may as well do my own thing.
And like these naughty practices.
But he would get loads of... He seemed to pick up quite a following.
But he gets results, doesn't he? He cured that person.
Well, he got back to... When he got back to his kind of like hometown, people say he changed quite a lot.
Oh, really?
So people were saying... You went away on this, you know, to become a monk and you've come back. And some people were a bit wary of him, a bit like, he's just this... weirdo that's come back and likes banging people. And a few people were quite taken in. They because he was a horse whisperer.
Oh, right.
So he'd end
Is that
up
what the film
like
based
whispering
on?
To horses and trying to get them to you know, do what, I don't know, what do horse whisperers do?
Talk to horses.
Yeah, but what do they talk to them about?
They like get them to calm down and tame them and stuff.
Yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
They just go, whoa, boy.
Yeah. And people saw that as a bit of a mystic because they didn't really understand it. They didn't really understand it, but they must have seen results. They must have seen that when he whispered to horses, they would calm down.
Maybe he was just really good at taming horses, but he wanted to be more mystical. So he was like, yeah, I spoke to it and told him to do that. Actually, he was out there like wrangling it and stuff.
I talk to Aria all the time. She doesn't do anything I say. So I'm a not dog whisperer.
But I couldn't really see much else other than that he came back as this kind of mystical guy, and he kind of started up this sect, and he would kind of lead it.
So did he do spells?
He didn't do spells from what I can tell. But he apparently
people with his touch.
Well, come on to that in a sec. Mm-hmm. But when he came back, people quoted him as being a bit of a hypnotist. So they didn't use that language, but that's what we would say today. Like he had a soothing presence about him.
And
hypnotist.
Well, they didn't use that word. But if I show you a picture now, people were quite mesmerised by his eyes. They said his eyes were quite.
There's a photograph of him.
Yeah. What? So that's Grigory.
Oh my god! I didn't realise that you get. She was around with photographs.
Fucking hell, he's horrible. What's his profile pic?
He is creepy. He looks like the evil version of John Lennon.
Yeah.
Big old beard.
Yeah. Just say what you see.
It's not a catchphrase.
I thought he had a bald head. Or was that later in life?
That was later in life.
Right. Do you reckon I could get away with a bald head and a long beard?
You could get away... I don't know. What do you want to get away with?
Murder. I mean, would it look alright?
Do you reckon I get away with murder if I... I think you'd suit a bald head.
Cool. Might do that one day.
Are you gonna?
Yeah, sure.
So now you've seen a picture of him, would you say that you would be quite taken in by this guy? Would he be someone that you would pay attention to or be wary of?
You know what I said about him looking like an evil John Lennon?
Yeah.
That's the way I think of him.
Yeah.
Because people will listen to John Lennon and they like believed his message and everything.
It's true.
And his message was good. It was like, it was flimsy, just like love. Like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Got any more? Just love. But... Rasputin had like an evil message.
Mm.
Or did he? Was he evil? Just jumping to conclusions. Well, he was like, fuck sin, do what you want.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't necessarily evil.
No.
But he was just...
sordid.
I think he's one of these people that were just somehow made his way into power and was quite...
cheeky.
I don't know, it just seems like... he had a lot of presence about him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I guess, like, a bit of a smooth talker, because he was... So when he came back from his monkery, he would tell people that they could... So the Kleists, right? This is what I was like, the typical cult leader stuff.
Right.
Because he came back and told the people that were following him that... they could get rid of their sin, but only through him. So they all had to shag him, and then they'd get rid of their sin.
Oh, that's Jim Jones proto.
Yeah. So it didn't murder anyone, from what I can tell, but that is filth, innit?
But it's what Jim Jones... Oh, no, Jim Jones didn't say that. He was like, you got to be virgins, but I'll fuck you.
Well, this guy pretty much went around. He was like, look, I want to help your souls. I want to cleanse you and free you of all your sin.
So if you want
to
sin...
If you want to shag someone, you have to do it through me. It has to be me. So he kind of... It sounds like he kind of floated around his village a bit and then became a bit of a wanderer.
Whoa,
a bit of
No, I didn't know he could fly.
Yeah, he levitated.
Didn't he?
he became a bit of a pilgrim.
Right.
And just went off on his own journey. But then he made his way to... St. Petersburg, which is where he met the royal family of Russia.
It's the capital of Russia, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or is it? It's Moscow. No.
St. Petersburg.
St. Petersburg's capital.
I think
so. Is it one of those weird questions where, like, what's the capital of Australia and everyone goes Sydney?
Yeah, I'm actually thinking now, is it Moscow or is it St. Petersburg?
I think it's Moscow, actually. But
I think it's Moscow.
It could be.
But I, for ages, thought Berlin, Munich was actually the capital of Germany.
Is it Berlin?
But it's Berlin.
Yeah, it was Berlin.
I know why I got confused, because Munich used to be the capital of Bavaria before it split up.
It's Moscow.
Moscow's the capital. Okay.
So he made his way to the capital, and somehow, again, I can't find really any way of it. I think it's just he kind of smooth-talked his way into the royal household and became pretty much what he called himself, almost like the right-hand man of the king, or whatever his name was, of the Tsar.
Was the Tsar friendly of him?
Not in that way.
No, I don't mean like that. I mean, like, were they buds?
Yeah, they loved each other. Not in that way.
You said not in that way. Yeah, they're in love.
So I think we've now got to a video. I'm trying to find... Okay.
Is it a video of Rasputin? Do they have video cameras in those days?
I think this is where it explains.
When
a bit
was
about,
he alive?
From 1869 and died December 30th, 1916.
And they had cameras then?
Very, guess so.
Very basic Polaroids.
Yeah, like really.
Well, they made Polaroids still then.
Okay, so this, I think, is the story of like him in St. Petersburg.
Okay. Launched in St. Petersburg's royal court, reigned over by Tsar Nicholas and his Tsarina Alexandra. He won the confidence of the royal couple themselves, especially Alexandra, when he performed an apparent miracle. He seemed to heal their hemophiliac son, Alexei.
According to an eyewitness account, he stood at the foot of the bed, he prayed, the whole scene was very quiet, and the boy woke up and saw Rasputin.
Astonishingly, the boy's pain disappeared and the bleeding stopped.
Rasputin did come and did relieve his pain and suffering and help. And the real question is, what did he do and how did that work?
Some people argue for hypnosis, some people argue for coincidence, some people argue that he actually had an accomplice in the palace who would make Alexa sick and then call Rasputin just as the boy was about to recover. The fact of the matter is that for over 10 years, Rasputin systematically healed the boy every time he was attacked by hemophilia. The doctors who hated him were amazed and his ability to do what he did. They were envious. They were very impressed. And I submit that that's an interesting piece of evidence for the fact that he had a healing gift of some sort.
Rasputin's influence over the royal pair was cemented by this success. They came to rely upon him for advice in many fields. As World War I loomed, he advised the Tsar not to enter it.
A terrible storm cloud lies over Russia. Disaster, grief, darkness, and no light. A whole ocean of tears. There is no counting them, and so much blood. The disaster is great, the misery infinite.
This time, though, the Tsar ignored a Rasputin warning. And when war began in the summer of 1914, Russia was soon fully committed. But as Rasputin had predicted, it was to go badly. With an ill-equipped army and inept generals, Russians were slaughtered by the hundreds of thousands. Tsar Nicholas took command of the army personally and headed for the front lines. With her husband away, Tsarina Alexandra's closeness with Rasputin, increasingly believed by court officials to be sexual, provoked some aggrieved courtiers into taking desperate measures. They resolved to get rid of the so-called mad monk, but it wouldn't be easy.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
Definitely sexual. His reputation is anything to go by.
Yeah. There's quite a lot in there that I want to talk about.
Yeah, me too.
Which is just fascinating. I'll be honest, I didn't get to watch the whole thing. I watched the first 10 minutes of this documentary on YouTube, which is, if you go on Timeline's channel, they do quite a lot of biographies of historical figures, and Rasputin's one of them.
I'll put a link to it on the
Pop it on if you want to watch it. It's 48 minutes long. Mm. It looks, from what I watched, it was pretty good. I just haven't had a chance to watch it all. It looks as if he kind of... I couldn't find anything other than him healing the Tsar's son.
But how's he doing
anything
that?
I can't find anything else that tells me what else he did as, like, performing miracle in, like, healing miracles.
How's he doing that, though?
Well, I don't know. I mean, a part of me is, coming from a faith background, I'm like, well, it's possible that God could have used him as a... If you read the New Testament, it's full of God using the disciples and to perform miracles through them. So it's possible, I don't know, maybe he did have some kind of faith. And kind of, you know, if he prayed, it says he prayed at the foot of his bed and, like...
Would God not mind that he was a bit of a sex fiend?
No, I think God understands that humans are prone to sinful nature. No, I think God, like, in my opinion, I think... like God would want to heal this kid.
How
more
do you think
than...
he did it, Tissy?
Well,
because every time this kid had a haemophilic incident, they would just get on the blower to Rasputin. He would get around there and stop it.
Cotton wool.
Cotton wool. Have you seen how people bleed when they're haemophiliacs?
No.
You can't stop it. It's not like put a band-aid on
it. No, it just doesn't stop.
It just goes and goes and goes.
But surely you can put enough pressure on it to stop it. Like it's.
But it's not.
Because it doesn't coagulate.
All you'll do, it doesn't clot. All you'll do, if you cover it and put pressure on it, it won't stop it. It will just trickle out. So if you had like a, even not even a deep cut, you'd eventually see it coming out the sides. Like you can't clot
it. There's nothing like making the scab, like healing it over.
Maybe he designed some sort of mental scab.
Maybe he made glue.
Maybe he used meditation.
I'm not joking. He might have made like a shitty glue and like just wiped it over the cut.
Now, there's quite a few people which I found was quite an interesting explanation. Some people have said that it could have been like the placebo effect.
Mm.
So,
oh yeah, because your body can do like amazing things on its own just from like what you're thinking.
That's what I mean, meditation.
Yeah. So,
they said this guy's going to fix it.
Manifestation.
The kid is like, oh, it's okay, he's going to fix it.
But doctors say all the time that a positive attitude really can help in, you know. So, I had a friend I used to work with at New Wine. Yeah, so I had a guy I used to work with there who he had cancer. And died a few weeks ago, but he was given 3 months to live in October, and died. Yeah, so I don't know how many months ago that is, but that's a lot longer
than
3 months. So he was given 3 months in October, so he should have died in January ish. But he chose from day one, like all over Facebook, he would put like a video daily encouraging people to be positive. And, in my opinion, it's that kind of thing. Can only help you.
Oh, definitely. I think so.
So,
because there's got to be something that positivity, the feeling of positivity is a very different feeling in your body. You feel, when you feel positive,
and
you are positive, you feel better, obviously. Yeah. Positivity makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And that can only make a positive chemical effect on your body.
But there's people also, so.
You think, therefore.
So some people you would...
That's the old saying, guys. You think, therefore... Yeah.
I think, therefore, okay. I am. Like, okay, you think, you. Therefore...
Yeah. Whatever you think,
that's
you
going on a t-shirt.
That's it. Whatever you think, you become.
Yeah, it can only help. I think it's difficult to try and, you know... But I think I know that when I feel positive about something, you do. It's not just the confidence that comes with it. It makes you feel... I don't know, more alive, I guess.
I'm still thinking of using the word Bookham. It's not Shakespeare, it's got a book. Bookham.
Doth Bookham.
Bookham Bars.
I don't know. I don't know. So some people would say that it could have been that God like worked through him. There's countless evidence of that happening. In the Bible, Christian communities still see healings all across the world. I've got countless testimonies, not of myself, but of things I've witnessed. Like, people see that happening or they witness something similar to that.
Talked about a few on episode 4, Miracles.
We've talked about that in Miracles.
Was that episode 4? It might have been episode 5.
5, I think.
5, yeah.
I think you find it's 5.
Weird Media was mine. It was number 4.
But then some people, again, use the placebo effect, and others... still would say that they agree that he had some kind of physician friend that would help him out, and that boosted his ego. He was someone who seemed to love being in the centre of attention, seemed to like being in the limelight.
And
so some people would say that. But then again, you can't, when it's haemophilia, you can't, like we've said, it's not exactly, it's not like a bad back.
Yeah.
You know, you can't fake it. It's a physical sign that, so, and
people
that would be quite impressive.
That effect, yeah.
Like Rachel's granddad has got haemophilia.
Yeah.
And when it's like a nightmare every time he has to go to the hospital to try and it's like, it's still quite a process.
I would never shave if I was a haemophilia.
No.
Just have a beard.
No.
Forget it.
Just not worth it, is it?
No.
I don't even know what they do. I don't know. Like, so if you're listening and you've got haemophilia,
just some wiggles, like one wiggle, one, two, three cuts, four cuts on my hands from my traps
all the time. What do you do as a job of work?
What does he?
What do you do? Rachel's granddad.
Oh, he. I don't know what he did.
Something.
I'm trying to remember.
Work at a knife factory.
No, he used.
Get a paper cut.
I don't know. I don't think he was using like a Stanley knife every day.
Do you ever donate blood?
doff blood and
get a few bags out of that.
Yeah, so healing. Yeah, so the main theories are that it was God, and God used him as like a, like a
conduit
is the word I was looking for, or like a vessel to work through, or placebo effect, or
some kind of physician. Or he just knew like a little medical tactic he had worked out on his own and didn't tell anyone.
Or the
shitty glue.
Some of his critics have said that.
Thins your blood, doesn't it? Makes it.
You want it thicker though. He wants it thicker to coagulate.
Maybe he got him sober then.
Yeah.
How would you thicken the blood?
Didn't they say that Rasputin was always drunk and that thing before?
He was a proper debaucherous fellow. Yeah.
So maybe he knew how to thicken blood because he thickened his own blood when he was drunk because it was thin all the time.
No.
Maybe it was God.
Sorry, I'm trying to find something. There was one thing that I'd found, and I knew if I didn't try and highlight it or something, I'd never find it again.
Should have highlighted it.
Is it that Rasputin couldn't lie?
No.
He always lied.
Say Abraham Lincoln, I'll pick up.
Honest Abe.
Oh, hypnosis was another one. I can't find...
Maybe use hypnosis.
Yeah, but how can you hypnotise someone to stop bleeding?
Hypnotise them to be positive.
I don't know much about hypnosis. That's another episode,
don't
isn't it?
Don't bleed.
Stop your.
Yeah, I did put hypnosis on our list. Talk about like free will and hypnosis and stuff.
Free Willy.
Yeah, Free Willy. The Free Willy trilogy.
The Whale.
But he.
Recommendation of the week, Free Willy trilogy.
No.
Free trilogy. Willogy.
Other critics have said it can't have been God because he had to keep on.
Are they atheists?
Can't be God.
No, just because. Well, no, but quite a few people at that time did believe in God. They just said that.
Quite a few people in that time did believe in God.
What? They did. Oh, sorry. Doth believeth in God.
It's probably only now in history that people don't, isn't it?
God. Em.
Like.
Isn't the percentage on the planet still like more people do, though?
Yeah, of course. But I mean, like, it's there's never been this high in.
There's life. Something like 30,000 new Christians in China every day. Alone, just in China, and that's only in Christians as well. In India, obviously,
but in the East, it's always been Buddhism, Taoism, and so Christianity over there is different.
So,
but here, it's always
it's very underground over there. You're not allowed to be a Christian over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they're just being rebels. Like,
they're not allowed to be a Christian over there.
You can't have Bibles.
Can't have more than one kid.
So you have people who have contacts in China who are just desperate. They've got 1,000 people here who are desperate for a Bible. So you get people that smuggle Bibles in.
I couldn't.
And sell them for a big price.
No, they just give them to them.
They're missing the trick, mate. Missing the trick. I'm going to China, mate.
I'm taking with me.
Yeah,
Bible.
10 Bibles.
Bible up your bum.
10 grand each, please.
10 grand each.
Can't put a price on faith. Oh, can't you?
But anyway, so that was the healing incident. But people say, well, God shouldn't have had to have kept on healing him because he kept having to meet him.
God's just like, for fuck.
Like, just deal with it once and for all.
Finger on the leak.
No, God would have.
Bit of tape.
No, because if your faith, imagine he heals someone and they go, I'm an atheist. That's why he heals them every time.
Right.
Boom, dispelled. God only heals on a case by case basis. He would never heal you 100%. Because what if you become a You'd be like, oh, I wish I could unheal a lot of you. But he can't. He can't unheal people.
That's what's on. That's like God's thought process.
He can, though. He can do anything.
No, the devil's the one who makes them bad. He makes them good. He can't make people then bad from good because he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be good.
God is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Could God heal someone and take away that healing?
No.
He wouldn't do that.
Not in my opinion.
You're right, then, Tizzy.
Yeah, because if you put one more island in God, yeah,
the devil isn't as strong as God, right?
Not in my opinion.
So he wouldn't be able to undo God's work.
If you put one more O in God, it's good. Yeah. It's good.
If you put,
looking like a true theologian.
If you put a B-A being devil, it's bad.
If you take the D away from devil, what have you got?
Evil. Evil.
Fuck off!
Evil!
Evil.
Evil.
I thought you said add, B. I was like, there isn't a B. I was like, trick question.
If
big.
You add the missing words, you get DOLT. Which is Homer. Which is the middle ground.
Right, okay, the everyman.
Man. Yeah.
Homan.
I mean,
evil. Death.
So in a more full...
Human.
Human, no.
In a more full answer to your human. Question, yeah, obviously human. God's God and he can do what he wants, but... In my opinion,
he couldn't buy an iPod.
In my opinion, I don't think God would do that. But yeah, so that's the only healing I could find, though.
Right,
people
okay.
seem to say, "Oh, he was known for being this mystic healer."
Has anyone
I can't
else
find anything else
healed haemophilia?
No, that's the only that's
doctors.
The only incident
in history.
Doctors. Sorry, what?
No, really?
Can you cure haemophilia? No,
no,
it's not curable.
Medically.
No,
it's not curable.
Not that I know of.
So,
is Rachel's,
there any instances?
I don't know whether it's curable, but all I know, in my from memory, Rachel's granddad goes to the hospital regularly to. I don't know whether it's you can
a thickening
prescribe
agent.
Pills to like yeah to thicken it like corn flour.
Yeah.
Like I don't know.
It's injection of corn flour.
Injected with porridge. I'm going to salt off you with that.
Salt.
You could cement a pavement with porridge.
You'd have salt on your porridge, do you?
Yeah.
Oh no. That's sweet on you.
Scottish, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I like having. Yeah, Scottish
salt.
Is like water and oats and salt.
Yeah, I love that.
Milk and oats, golden syrup, babe.
Yeah, I love that as well.
That's called your babe.
Babe.
So, there's no other person in history that has healed haemophilia through prayer or monkfish.
Possibly.
Well, no, I'm quite sure that there is another case of it happening.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure that that's not the only time in history someone's been healed of haemophilia.
So, if you're thinking haemophilia is like necrophilia?
No, you don't just love
blood. It's not philia. Philia is just... So philia surely is like an obsession of, or like an extreme of,
don't know,
something. Paedophilia.
What is it like? Fill your boots, mate.
Fill your boots.
Fill your boots, mate. Is that philia?
Yeah, that's where it comes from because it's excess. You fill.
What about if you philia someone?
Necrophilia your boots. Haemophilia your boots.
You get philia'd up.
Anyway,
right,
so
okay.
He hung around with Tsar.
Yeah.
Tsar Nicky.
Yeah.
Tsar. And I never knew that a female Tsar was Tsarina.
Tsarina.
That sounds
yeah.
so made up.
Yeah. But you're doesn't it sound like he... So this takes us neatly onto his prophecies.
But I'm going to say, and he was fucking Tsarina. It's like a soap opera.
Yeah, pretty much.
Literally.
Well,
he was... People thought he was.
People didn't...
they were close. And anyone he was
yeah.
close to got a bit of...
I think some people would have put two and two together and
yeah.
thought, well... Yeah, so it's kind of tenuous. There was nothing concrete, but some people say they actually saw them, like, kissing and,
yeah.
you know, canoeing.
Well,
because
he's got a reputation.
Yeah, exactly, he's a big character, and...
If you literally just have sex with every woman you're ever around and then becomes friends with a woman, it's only natural that people are going to be like, he's probably having sex with her.
Yeah. Yeah, people get reputation for a reason. It's
yeah.
not just, you know...
But maybe he was innocent.
Who knows? But this takes me quite nicely onto his prophecies.
Right, okay.
So he was a bit of a Nostradamus.
I didn't know
himself.
He had prophecies.
Well, again, I spent quite a long time looking to see how many prophecies I can find, and it seems that in his last will and testament,
mm-hmm.
that was quite a big... like that was like a beefy prophecy.
Beefy prophecy.
He did make a couple. There are others, but I couldn't really seem to find there's other references to other prophecies he made, particularly about the end times.
Right.
And if you go on to, like, there are websites out there all over the place dedicated to end times and, like, you know, the end of, like, Armageddon.
Yeah, yeah.
And he made a couple of prophecies to do that. But again, I think it's kind of like the ones that, because Nostradamus made a couple, didn't he?
Well, Nostradamus wrote all his in, like, code because it was illegal to be prophesizing.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, it was quite controversial that Rasputin would have been prophesying as well. Yeah. Because if you look at the Old Testament, people who were prophets were commanded by God, and it was like quite a big event, like a physical event, that would mean that that person would become a prophet.
Mm.
And so people were saying, unless they carried this aura about them, unless many people knew that they were a prophet, it was kind of like, don't just go saying that you're a prophet, mate, because you're not. So before we come on to his death and...
What things he prophesied, though?
Well, I'm going to go through them now.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through one, and then we'll look at his last will and testament, which seemed to prophesy quite a few things. So he prophesied that Tsarist Russia, so obviously they don't have Tsars in Russia anymore, would be followed by a nation where the worst and least able to govern would appear. And he stated that that period of least, like the least able
was
to govern.
Was it Russia or England?
So the Russian Revolution took place in 1917, but in actuality, the Soviet Union was only constituted on the 30th of December 1922 and ceased not only when the wall came down in Berlin, but officially on December 26th, 1991, which was a period of 69 years. Furthermore, the last of the institutions...
He would predict that, wouldn't he? Because 69, classic Rasputin.
Yeah, he loves it. Furthermore, the last of the institutions of the Soviet Union actually was not closed down for about 6 months after that, making it a few days short of 70 years. So, again, all of this, right, I'm thinking, if he's close to the royal family, you're going to get a lot of inside knowledge, or just around, you'll be around people who are politically minded and understand how the world goes and understand how the political climate works. And you'll get people, like, for example, like Churchill was an unbelievable war politician. He was a terrible politician otherwise, but he understood war. So you'd understand, really. But really, 70 years...
Hitler's not even up there, though, is he, with those top killers? Who's the most killed?
We've been through this, like, twice.
We've done this.
Pickled Mao, isn't it?
Pickled Mao.
Was it Pickled Mao?
I can't remember. I think it might have been.
Chairman Mao killed about 70 million.
Like, Hitler was, like, 7 on the list.
Yeah.
There was like Pol Pot was above him, Mao,
Stalin.
Stalin was way up there. Yeah,
Stalin's a proper tosspot.
Yeah, are they all Russians that he killed?
Who killed
Stalin?
I think Stalin was just.
This was on the first cults episode you did. We talked about this.
Was Stalin a communist?
Yeah.
Was he?
Isn't it? That is communism.
I don't know anything.
I know that
about
Russia
stuff.
Isn't always communist, but I just associate a lot of stuff with.
Soviet Union was communist, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course it was. Yeah, if he was Soviet Union, then.
Yeah.
Affirmative.
I don't know anything about comrade. Russian history.
I know a lot about.
I'm learning all, everything I know about Russian history today.
Well, Red Alert.
I never really paid
Tesla
Red Alert.
Coil. Get a Tesla coil, you get a
never
text.
Really paid Red Alert.
Affirmative.
Hey, Tesla was Russian, wasn't he?
Yeah.
No. Was he?
No, no, he wasn't.
Tesla wasn't.
Where
Russian.
Was he from?
Wasn't he like Croatian?
Czech? I think he was Czech.
He was Czech.
No, in fact, Croatian, because Lauren said she went to Zagreb and they had a Tesla museum.
Oh, she went to Zagreb?
Yeah. They stopped off.
So that was one of them. That's one of his prophecies. It's kind of bang on the nose a bit, but I wasn't that impressed by it.
Takes a lot to impress you.
Take it or leave it.
If I made a guess like that, I guess. Would you be impressed?
Yeah, sure.
I won't bother.
Why not?
Tess, will you make a prophecy right now? Think of something you really, like, just think for a
minute.
And then just give me something that comes to you, like, it's actually going to happen.
Just let me summon.
Oh, yeah, let's see if we can do it. Go on. Tess is holding his temples
I'm
with his eyes closed.
For something to
you want something
in.
To come to him?
Yeah, I don't want to organically think of it. No, I've got nothing.
What a disappointment. You know what, I'm not even leaving all that silence.
I've got nothing.
With me just tapping away.
I don't want to make fake ones.
No.
Only when I won't make real
I want ones. Something that would actually come to me.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Nothing came to me. I couldn't. I was trying to think of the government. I was trying to think of Trump. Nothing came to me.
So this is why. So just to kind of clear things up. So Rasputin made like predictions,
right?
As did Nostradamus, but that's not necessarily a prophetic. That's not necessarily how.
I think it's pretty prophetic.
But that's more of a prediction prophecy. Well, I'm just saying, I think that in my opinion, there's a difference between a prediction and a prophetic word.
Right.
So.
But anyone can make a prediction based on facts and everything.
I think it depends on.
The Lions are going to win the tour.
So I gave the example, didn't I, of the dream I had the day before tsunami, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And how, for me, that was a real revelation.
I don't think you guys have heard it yet. There's the ending story on Ghost Stories, Volume 3, that went up 2 days ago, is all about the tsunami and a prediction about the tsunami.
Okay.
Anthony Peak talks a lot about precognitive dreams and how they are very common and scientifically can be explained.
And the person who sent in the story about the tsunami went under a pseudonym, and I said, oh, they're using a pseudonym, so now it's going to look like it was your story.
Oh, right. It wasn't my story. But we can come on to that. I think prophecy is another episode, really. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read his last will and testament.
Okay.
And then we'll break it down.
It's going to be a surprise. It's going to be another thing to Bob and this.
I write this letter, the last letter, which will be left after me in St. Petersburg. I have a premonition that I will die before the 1st of January, 1917.
Did he?
Yeah.
He died on the 30th of December, 1916. I speak to the Russian people, to Papa. That's who he's referring to the Tsar.
Oh, right, okay.
And he used Alexandra as Mama.
Right.
Apparently. To mother and children, to all of the Russian land, that they should know and understand. This is almost like Princess Di, this bit. If I will be killed by ordinary people, especially by my brothers, the Russian peasants, then you, the Russian Tsar, should not worry about your children. They will lead in Russia another 100 years. But if I'm murdered by the boyars and noblemen, they will spill my blood and it stays upon their hands. Then 25 years will pass before they will be able to wash my blood from their hands. They will have to flee from Russia. Brother will kill brother. Everyone will kill each other and hate each other. And at the end of 25 years, not one nobleman will be left in Russia. Tsar of the Russian land, if you hear the ringing of the funeral bell at the death of Grigory, then know, if in my death are guilty some of your relatives, then I tell you that none of your family, none of your children and relatives will live more than 2 years. And if they live, they will pray to God for death, for they will see the disgrace and shame of the Russian land, the arrival of the Antichrist, pestilence, poverty, desecrated temples of God, holy places spit upon, where everyone will become a corpse. 3 times 25 years will be the black bandits, servants of the Antichrist, destroy the people of Russia and the faith of the Orthodox Church, and the Russian land will perish, and I perish. I have perished already, and I am no longer among the living. Pray, pray, be strong, think of your blessed family. So
that is so like heavy for a will.
Yeah, it's not
do one well. Like
I might do one like that.
What?
To Bob and both.
Yeah, but I know it was a joke if you did it. That is so like.
Yeah,
it's got real anger in it.
Yeah,
it was like he got really drunk one night, came home and wrote it.
So if we break it down a bit. So we've already said I will die before the 1st of January. He was killed on the December 30th.
Mm. Do we know who killed him?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. If I am murdered by the boyars and noblemen, he was killed by 2 relatives of the royal family.
Oh.
At the end of 25 years, not one nobleman will be left in Russia. Not sure on this one, but most of the royalty was either executed by the new regime or fled Russia. So we don't know. That's kind of
tenuous. Boom. Fucking true.
Brother will kill brother. Everyone will kill each other and hate each other. The communist revolution was a blood bath. Even after the revolution ended, the regime of fear created by Stalin continued the blood and hatred. Kind of tenuous, but yeah. None of your family, none of your children and relatives will live more than 2 years. The Romanov family was executed July the 16th, 1918. His other family members will also be executed after this.
So it's communism.
Not all died in the course of 2 years. One of Rasputin's murderers died in 1967. Another in 1942 of tuberculosis. Disgrace and shame. Like the person, so I'm getting this from a website called damninteresting.com.
Right.
Disgrace and shame of the Russian land depends upon one point of view.
Right. So they're trying to, it's like they got one thing really right and amongst it, and now they're trying to tie things into it.
Arrival of the Antichrist, Lenin or Stalin, depends, you can take your pick, whoever takes your fancy.
Both bastards.
Distraction of the Russian people. Well, Russia is still a massive, booming, thriving nation, so that's probably not true.
Yeah, maybe these aren't Russians. Maybe these are like a hybrid, different Russians.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
Putting the word in.
Poverty and pestilence. There were years of hunger and poverty following the years of revolution. Again, that's kind of tenuous because if there's a war, you're obviously going to be recovering for a long time after that and you'll be making do with shortage of food and supplies and resources and everything anyway. So
maybe.
Desecrated temples of God. Stalin destroyed many, many Russian Orthodox churches and they were used as granaries and barns. So they desecrated temples, but again, if they were in famine, you'd need more places to, I don't know, particularly if they were
to do
some granaring. And
but a granary doesn't grow anything, does it? It's just grains. It turns them up, doesn't it?
But you need that to make food.
I don't know how granaries work. So that's pretty much his, those are the prophecies that he made. But all of this is kind of intertwined with his downfall, really, because people are getting really fed up of him by now. The religious really didn't like him.
He's fucking my wife.
Well, the religious people didn't like him because he was using God's name for a lot of what he was doing, and people kept throwing his past back. Like, you were banging all those women, and you created this weird sect which isn't biblical at all. And, you know, so people get a little bit fed up with him. The royal family...
He was, like, really charismatic, it seems.
Yeah.
And he just used that to do whatever the fuck he wanted.
Yeah.
And using, you know, religious excuse to get away with it.
And
if you got it, flaunt it, mate.
So the religious people hated him. The palace hated him because by now they're like, you don't have any political advice. Like, you're not someone we can turn to in crisis or anything. You have no worth here. People were saying, well, we're all here on merit. You're here because what? People were starting to realise, like, wait a minute, you know, why are you here? And I think people questioned him a lot by now. So he seemed to have got a nice swanky life in the palace with the royals for a few years. And then people were on to him. But his death. So on the night of December 29th, 1916, a group of conspirators, by the way, I'm getting this off of biography.com.
Okay.
Similar to Wikipedia.
Kind of. Use biography.com for some of the Nostradamus stuff as well. Yeah.
I've never used Biography.
I realise now we've all done a biographical episode.
Yeah.
With Tesla, Nostradamus, Tesla.
Tesla.
Tesla, Nostradamus.
And... Well, Tesla, Manson. Charlie Manson.
Yeah, a little bit. We've done some like sort of hybrid-y ones.
This is my first real biographical one. A group of conspirators, including the Tsar's first cousin, Grand Duke Dmitry Pavlovich, and Prince Felix Yusupov, invited Rasputin to Yusupov's palace and fed him wine and cakes laced with cyanide.
Oh.
Okay. Like, seems a bit like, come in, eat some cake, have some wine. It seems
like,
a bit suggestive.
They open the door, it's like Cloud City when Vader's standing at the end of the table.
Yeah.
We'd be honoured if you would join us.
Would you like any? No, we've just eaten.
We would be honoured if you would join us.
Yeah,
I like that Vader laid that table though.
Imagine a party you go to, it's like,
there's no way they sat down and ate there.
No.
He was like, this would be brilliant.
Even just for a second.
Now this is where it gets interesting. Though Rasputin eventually became rather drunk, the poison seemed to have no effect. This is where all of this next bit, people are like, oh, he was impossible to kill. He was, you know, this myth about him being this mystical figure who was just sent by God and impossible to kill. He wasn't impossible to kill, just the cyanide didn't work.
Baffled, I had a load of cyanide and didn't die.
Baffled, but not deterred. The conspirators finally shot Rasputin multiple times, one in the face. He was then wrapped in a carpet and thrown into the Neva River, where it was discovered 3 days later. So people say he didn't ever die.
But they just shot him in the head.
Yeah. But also,
oh, I'm so disappointed.
People are like, oh, he, you know, he, no one knows how he died. It's like, well, no, because they didn't have autopsy in the same way we do autopsy now, where we have a lot more information and you're
able to... Is that just hearsay, though, or did it actually happen?
What, this death?
This shot in the face.
I found more information telling me he was shot multiple times than I have information telling me he wasn't.
Some people dispute it because they want to keep the legend of Rasputin alive.
Yeah, exactly. And then, although Rasputin was gone, the last of his prophecies was yet to unfold. Shortly before his death, he wrote to Nicholas to protect, so he sent his last will and testament to him, that if he were killed by government officials, the entire imperial family would be killed by the Russian people. His prophecy came true 15 months later, when the Tsar, his wife, and all of their children were murdered by assassins amidst the Russian Revolution.
I think that he didn't get shot in the face, and he's still alive now.
In Argentina, or Hitler.
Living it up in Argentina, yeah. No, I reckon he's still alive.
Grigory Rasputin.
Yeah, yeah. I reckon he's... I don't know where I'm going with this.
Do you think there's a resort they all went to in Argentina where there's like Hitler, Rasputin, Shakespeare?
No, Shakespeare wasn't real. Of course he's not there.
No, but the
yeah,
fake
come
one.
On, Tis, get your facts right.
Oh, Shakespeare, the organisation of writers.
Yeah. Sure.
Penguin.
The Ripper.
I think... So they tried to poison him, he ate a load of it and was just like, fuck it, my body's just like gone through so much sin, I'm intolerant to everything.
Yeah.
Didn't do shit to him, he just felt a bit tipsy. Yeah. They were like, oh fuck this, shot him in the face.
Well, multiple times, we
multiple
don't really
know. Multiple times.
So...
Wrapped him in a carpet.
So I wonder whether it was like, this made me think of Mustafa from Austin Powers.
Right.
Where he goes down, like he's like burnt in the pit, or he's broken his leg, and he's like...
It's actually very painful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
So I wonder whether they just shot him and thought, oh, he's not died, but they shot him in like the leg or something, so like he wouldn't die necessarily.
Probably like in films when they shoot and they just miss all the time.
Yeah, maybe
I was sick of it in films. Are you?
Maybe they were stormtroopers.
I get so sick. I get so sick of like people running away from gunfire in films.
Yeah.
They never get hit.
Never.
One thing I do get sick of, and I really hate this in film, drama, anything.
Yeah.
Is like the villain stood over the hero with a gun and like, I've been waiting for this moment. You wouldn't do like, you just kill him.
Yeah.
You just shoot them, just do it. Why are you like...
Well, that's why when a film does do it like a ballsy move, I'm like,
it's that adrenaline. You just awesome. Be like, I've done it.
Yeah. But when a film does a real like ballsy move and just like kills someone, I'm like, oh, like it's way more effective. Like think of even like No Country for Old Men, when the dude like...
Yeah.
Like that's ballsy, that's shocking.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
That's a great film.
Yeah.
Recommendation of the week, No Country for Old Men.
It's such a good film.
It's one of the films you don't need to have recommended, though, because people are just like, yeah, I already know that's a good film.
Yeah.
No, same. I don't really like
films. Well, you get quite a lot of
it. But you don't like films, so I'm not recommending anything to you.
Films.
No. Tish, have you seen Harry and the Hendersons yet?
No.
These are not films. Films are shit.
Films are shit.
I've seen it twice since I last gave you that DVD. So that's Rasputin, basically.
So he wasn't Excellent. The indestructible man that everyone believed him to be?
Well, no, because apparently he died in a river.
He was the destructible man.
So
well, some people...
Did people
say
revolt
he didn't...
because of him? Like, did they go, oh, Rasputin was so loved by everyone, that's why they did it?
He wasn't loved.
He wasn't really... No, I think the revolution happened because it was quite a tense political atmosphere.
What, like now?
But he looks so mental.
Yeah.
He looks like a villain. That's why they use him in like comic villains so often, because he looks like one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the classic look, isn't
he's
it?
He's the
when
most...
You look at, when you look at that face...
He's like the most villainous-looking man that was actually real.
Yeah.
He looks like Treebeard, but human.
Yeah.
But he's not a villain, Treebeard.
He's Evil John Lennon.
What, Treebeard?
Evil John... take D away from Devil, what'd you get? Evil.
Evil!
He's so evil.
Good. Is God, intentionally, God good?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, he named himself after the concept of good.
It's a good name.
Like,
did God name himself?
Don't know, I don't think so. I think people
Jehovah
just named... That's
name.
The name we give for...
But why did we give him
What's
that
What's
Jehovah?
I don't know, because, like...
What's Jehovah?
Stuart would be silly.
What's Jehovah?
Jehovah's God's maiden name.
Is Jehovah God?
No, in Indiana Jones, don't they
Jehovah
say?
Mean... Jehovah is one of God's... But there we go. That's Rasputin for her.
Amazing.
Do you think he was a mad monk?
I think he was Nice guy.
A nice guy.
41 died.
Huh?
Died at 41, didn't he?
Yeah, if that's maths, I guess.
I thought he was a nice guy. 41 died.
41 died.
He was alright.
Is this your own rap? That feels like a style of rap. Thought he was a nice guy. 41 died.
Nah. Yeah.
He
didn't really do a lot, did he? He's had sex loads, made a few prophecies, healed a kid. That's about
it. He basically was like a big.
Oh, don't forget he was a horse whisperer.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that. Yeah, he was all mouth, it seems.
Yeah.
He just looked scary.
Yeah.
He
was just a weird guy, upjumped from like.
He was a cool guy, though. I want to make like a comic book dream team team up of. The historical figures we've covered, so it's like a team made up of Tesla, Rasputin and Nostradamus.
I want to make
it's like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I want to make you know, you've seen What We Do in the Shadows,
yeah,
which is a good film.
Well, a film you like.
Yeah, I love it.
Is it like a documentary?
Yeah, so I'd do a documentary with those same actors and that same director.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be Rasputin, Hitler and a few other people that have fled to Argentina, all living on the same resort.
Oh, is this what you've been cooking up while I've been recording?
Yeah, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
And you're spending your time wisely.
Taika Waititi.
Bigfoot would be there. Hitler would be there.
Bigfoot would be there.
Yeah. Rasputin would be there, and one other.
Nostradamus.
Nah, it's too obvious. What
about Tesla?
It's too obvious.
Nah. It's got to be weird. Tesla died, didn't it?
Tesla's not weird enough.
Tesla died. It's got to be someone who, like, we don't know could have not.
Oh, cheated death. Why don't you just make it like really perverted and send like the Marquis de Sade there or something?
Hey.
Well, maybe we should do Marquis de Sade and all his weird sexual perversions.
Who's Marquis de Sade?
He was like in Duran during the Spanish Inquisition and he was like crazy about weird sex shit.
Maybe him.
Never even thought about doing him, but.
Awesome.
Right.
So are you wrapping now,
Big? Yeah, I'm wrapping up.
Yeah, I've got to go.
I'm wrapping up. I'm done.
All right. Well, we can't make Emma listen of the week because she's been listener of the week. You can't be listener of the week twice. But that also doesn't mean we're making Anthony Anderson listen of the week either.
Anthony Anderson is never a listener of the week. Apart from my listener of the week.
Listener of the week. Who do you want to make listener of the week?
But what about the... you sent us a message of...
That's literally who I was about to say.
The lady, the girl.
Yeah. She's... okay, so... listener Roberta, you emailed us a couple of times in the last week, which by the time this goes out will be like 3 weeks ago. Well, you gave a really nice response to the Sanity episode, which you just got up with, and also some good advice for Beef as a new father.
Yeah.
And nothing for you, Tis.
Nothing for me.
No.
Yeah. His life's already sorted out.
You'll
be
on the
help of the week 1 week.
Nah, you don't listen to the show, mate.
When was the last time? You haven't even listened to episode 50.
Nah, I haven't.
Nah.
So, Roberta, you know who you are. You're listener of the week this week. Thanks very much for your
Thanks for that kind message, Roberta. It was really helpful. It's good to get advice when you're a first-time dad.
Yeah. And the usual things. So, what is it? You can go on the website. And I just do the website now because it's easier. WeirdTalesandTheUnexplainable.com. Yeah. And on that website, on the right-hand side, you've got a Facebook button, Twitter buttons for all of us. There's a donate button if you want to make a one-off payment. There's the Patreon button if you want to become a patron, where you can pay as little as $1 a month to support the show, and you get goodies depending on how much you give. And it all helps.
Mm.
And that's what we're adding up now as well. We're going to be buying some new recording equipment soon. We're nearly on the way to a new interface. So yeah. Pretty much there.
Getting there.
When the money comes through for this last month's advertising, we're going to have money for a new interface, so... they don't need to know that then.
Nah.
Yeah, we're buying some recording equipment with the money.
Yeah.
And anything else?
I don't know, really.
The t-shirt stuff. I'm moving house, obviously, we're recording on the floor. But I'm moving house tomorrow. As soon as I've moved, I'm going to get looking for people to sort out t-shirts for us. Got some really cool ideas for those. A lot of people have been asking about those. And I've also got loads of stuff in this box, which I might start doing some giveaways soon. We've got... There's a couple of misprinted Sage and Prey t-shirts, which I know people will want.
What is it, Sage and Parry?
There's a badge I've got from when I did Weird London episode with James for the Victor Wind Museum. There's some weird stories, like books, but I'm thinning down some of the stuff I've got, so might do some giveaways soon. Let me know. Well, let me know if you want stuff. I don't really know how it works.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do. I'll work out how to do it.
Yeah.
We'll send some stuff for our listeners. Anything else?
I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Right. Rescuing you later.
Go on.
until next time, before you go rushing away, don't go rasputing bad vibes out there. Be kind to people always. See you next week.
What do you think about that?
That's Stalin.
Yeah. Quit Stalin.
Right. Respute in a while, guys.
Respute in a while. As it's a historical episode, I wanted to... Sorry?
190.
What?
No, it's episode number 90.
Yeah.
All right.
It just lives in like it's historical.
It's historical.
It's historical
content. I want to end on something quite lighthearted and a bit of fun.
Oh.
This is... This was recommended to me by Rachel.
Right.
Because they're these videos that that are on YouTube, she's like, I wish they didn't have lewd content in them because I use them in my lessons all the time. Right. But this is like a Russian political history, showing you all the political figures, but in rap.
So okay.
We're going to end on this.
Because, so Tiss is going to start rapping.
But you guys, it's good. You guys can learn a lot.
Is it like a rap battle between Stalin and Lenin?
It is. Every rap battle.
Pretty oh, my fucking life. It
okay,
is.
Okay, so hang on. Let me try and...
How did you guess it?
I just guessed. What is it? Rasputin and Stalin.
Right, we're going to learn something. Rasputin! Listen! Madman, you'll be sorry. Oh, how many dictators does it take to turn an empire into a union to ruin its strength? It's a disgrace what you did to your own people. Your daddy beat you like a dog and now you're evil. You're from Georgia, sweet Georgia, and history books unfold ya as a messed up motherfucker bit in the mind. You got a superpower, but it paid the price with the endless destruction of Russian lies. You're a man of steel, I spit kryptonite. Big dick, mystic, known to hypnotize. I can end you with a whisper to your eyes. I looked into my eyes, you perverted witch. See the soul of the man who made Mother Russia his bitch. You think I give a fuck about my wife? My own son got locked up in prison and I didn't save his life. You got up easy when they pickled that moose cock. I leave your neck in a noose and a trenches shot. Your whole family shot. All your wizard friends shot. Anyone who sold you pierogi shot. Starving for days so you waste away. I even crushed motherfuckers when I'm laid insane. I have let it to Trotsky out of the picture. Dropped a hammer on you harder than a bitch slapped Hitler. No, we haven't.
Very strange. Very confused about...
You're confused.
The whole situation.
Well, there's also Hitler versus Vader.
Isn't Karl Marx the one that came up with the good comedy?
Historical.
Historical figures. I don't know how granaries work.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.